Please take your Bibles and turn in them with me first to the New Testament. Our New Testament reading first to John chapter 19, beginning at verse 23. It's found on page 1152, John 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, John 19. People of God, hear now the very words of God. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And let us turn to Genesis, the first book in the Bible, Genesis 16. It's found on page 14. We're going to consider this morning Hagar, a mother who weeps. So we're going to read quite a bit of her story, Genesis 16, and then also Genesis 21. So Genesis 16 gives background to Hagar and Ishmael. You'll notice that between Genesis 16 and Genesis 21, Abram's name has been changed to Abraham, and Sarai's name has been changed to Sarah. But back here in chapter 16, it's Sarai and Abram. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen." So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And turn over to chapter 21. The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me." And she said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy, and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with a bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. As far as the reading of God's holy word, our text takes us back to Genesis 21, verse 16. "Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, 'Let me not look on the death of the child.' And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept." Congregation, this day in our society, many remember our mothers. And mothers are a gift from God, aren't they? For the ladies whom God blesses with a husband and with children, today can be a joyous day, a joyous occasion. For others, though, it might not be happy. Maybe it brings up feelings of grief, not only if one lacks a husband and children, but also for those who maybe have gone through the death of a child, or have a child who has turned his or her back on Christ, on the church. God told Eve in Genesis 3:16 that in pain you shall bring forth children. And we saw in our series through the first few chapters of Genesis that that referred not only to the act of childbirth, but to the whole experience of child rearing. We live in a fallen world. God made man upright, but because of Adam's first sin, sin and death have entered into the world. There is grief. And that's what we see here this morning as we continue to consider different mothers in the Bible. 2 years ago, we considered Eve. Last year, we considered Sarah. Well, this year, we focus on Hagar, just one incident with Hagar. Now, as we read, Hagar was a servant of Sarah, whom she gave to Abraham in an attempt to have a child. The child would be born of Hagar, but be adopted by Sarah, so to speak. And that's what happened. A child was born, a son was born, Ishmael was born. Now, the event in our text occurs about 15 years in the future when Ishmael is a boy. We might even call him a young man. And God did something surprising. God opened Sarah's womb. Isaac was born. Isaac was born of Abraham and Sarah. Now, given that we live in a fallen world, trouble is bound to happen. And so it did. Sometime after Isaac was born, when Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. At that feast, Ishmael was laughing. You look at the footnote, it says, possibly laughing in mockery. Now, the book of Genesis is filled with family conflict. Remember the conflict with the first family. We think of Adam and Eve. Adam blamed Eve, right? Right away, right off the bat. Then Cain and Abel. Children, remember with Cain and Abel, what happened when the firstborn son had a conflict with a secondborn son? Cain killed Abel. Now, perhaps Sarah here is thinking she detects that same anger, that same murderous thoughts in Ishmael that would have been present in Cain, in Ishmael as he laughed in mockery. We don't know exactly what Ishmael intended toward Isaac and if he had any plans, exactly what seeds are there, but Ishmael was wrong to laugh, to mock. Isaac was the child of promise. Now maybe you're wondering why Ishmael's laughing here was so bad. Think back when Abram and Sarah, they also laughed. They laughed when God promised that Sarah would have a child. Abram laughed back in Genesis 17, verse 17, when he was first told by God. At that point, God instructed Abraham. He didn't rebuke him. Then chapter 18, Sarah laughed, and God then rebuked Sarah. Why? Well, because no doubt Abraham had told Sarah why his name was changing, why her name was changing, why he'd be circumcised and every male would be circumcised. God made a promise Sarah would give birth, yet Sarah laughed. Sarah conceived then, gave birth to a child. God's promise was fulfilled. But Ishmael laughed. Ishmael's laughing here indicates unbelief, hardened unbelief. Not only had he heard the promise from Abraham, not only had he heard it again issued to Sarah, but it happened. Child was born. To mock Isaac in this way was to mock God. And so Abraham sends Hagar and Ishmael away. Abraham, in effect, excommunicates Ishmael and Hagar for hardened unbelief. He sent them away. Now, this pained Abraham. We read that. We focus this morning on Hagar. This was a difficult situation for her, for this mother, a situation that only grows worse from an earthly perspective for a while. And so it can be in our lives. Mothers, like all of us, deal with strains, hardships, and griefs. What do we do with these? Well, God gives us direction. We cry out to God in our grief. Cry out to God in your grief. And first, we want to see about shattered dreams. Shattered dreams. Now, consider Hagar and dreams she had some 15 years ago. Before this, she had birthed the only child of Abraham. And it would seem that in that culture, Hagar had come through where Sarah had failed. Abraham's line would now continue. And it was because of Hagar, not Sarah. So we read from chapter 16, Hagar ran away from Sarai because Sarai mistreated her. But God made a promise to Hagar. God promised, we read it, verse 10, chapter 16, that he would multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. This was very close to the promise God gave to Abraham himself, as we hope to see when we return to Genesis sermon series. We also read something else that the angel of the Lord told to Hagar at that time, that everyone's hand would be against Ishmael, and Ishmael's hand would be against everyone. In fact, the angel went even farther and said Ishmael would dwell over against all his kinsmen. The angel prophesied conflict in the family. Even though Ishmael was firstborn, there would be problems. But still, Ishmael was firstborn. Think of those dreams. It had to count for something. Now, these 15 years later, did Hagar remember God's promise? Did Hagar remember the words the angel of the Lord spoke? Well, we don't know for sure what was going on in her mind, but we can say for 14 or so years, Ishmael was raised as the only son of Abraham. Ishmael was raised as the heir of Abraham. Wonderful promises seemed to be his. But maybe, perhaps more to Hagar and Ishmael's liking, there was prestige. Wealth, animals, servants, tents, no land, but plenty of other earthly things. But then Sarah conceived, and Hagar's dreams, what happens? Well, the pregnancy continued. A child was born, a male child from Sarah. And no doubt Hagar and Ishmael suspected something would change. But then this great feast happened that Abraham made on the day Isaac was weaned. We don't know what other feasts Abraham held for Ishmael throughout the years, but we're told this one was special, a great feast. And Ishmael laughed. It is that same word, laughed, as used of Sarah laughing, the same word that's the root of Isaac, laughter, but the context, again, makes clear Ishmael was mocking, was not innocent. and Ishmael, Hagar cast out. They're sent away. We read in verse 14, Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. She wasn't heading to Egypt, where she was from, where she would get a wife for Ishmael later. It seemed like she wasn't heading anywhere in particular. We're told she wandered. Commentators note that Abraham gave Hagar enough food and water for her and Ishmael to travel to Egypt. But she didn't go there. Her dreams are shattered. And then the water ran out. You can't survive long in the wilderness without water. Death was coming. Hagar knew that. As she said earlier, as we read, "Let me not look on the death of the child." Talk about shattered dreams. Ishmael no longer the only child of Abraham. Ishmael, she cast out from Abraham's family, his resources. Then wandering in the desert, no home, no place. The water runs out. Ishmael near death. Soon she would die. Now, perhaps you noticed, but in this entire chapter, the name Ishmael is not used. Not once. Instead, it's only child, boy, son. It's as if Ishmael no longer exists. Shattered dreams. How many of you have shattered dreams? Well, not the same as Hagar, but we have them. Parents have them. Mothers have them. We can look back in the past weeks, months, years. Maybe it stands out very clearly in your mind. Sometimes it's a matter of health. Sometimes it's an accident. Sometimes it's someone, a strained, a broken relationship. How many mothers dream about their child in the womb, dream about the future while holding him or her as a baby, dream as they move through the stages of life, and then reality is something different? Now let me ask, before we move on, shattered dreams, are you bitter? Are you bitter over your shattered dreams? Do you think God did you a wrong turn, or someone else wronged you? Are you holding it against God, holding it against someone else? Don't. Was Hagar bitter? Is that why she wandered in the wilderness, Beersheba, instead of heading purposefully to anywhere, civilization? We don't know for sure, but if she was bitter, it only made her problem worse. That's what bitterness does. It eats away inside. Bitterness, whether it's because your husband or your wife, your children, your parents, a sibling, someone else in the church, your boss, whoever, bitterness, shattered dreams, expectations. Don't let bitterness grow within you. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." Hagar certainly had shattered dreams. Shattered dreams. But that's not all. As we move to in our second point, she had great grief. Great grief. So the water in the skin was gone. I read that in verse 15. Hagar put the child under one of the bushes, and then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. Shattered dreams, they stress us, don't they? There comes a breaking point. Hagar broke. Hagar wept. This is the first time in the Bible we're told that someone wept. It won't be the last. In fact, maybe you think the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, where Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, and he wept. Now the word there for Jesus that he wept, it's something different. The word used here is something normally used. Great grief, sobbed, could be translated. Fitting translation for what Hagar did. Weeping, sobbing. It's something we do at death, at tragedy, at loss. Maybe even shattered dreams. It's not necessarily wrong to cry, to weep, to sob, but neither is it necessarily okay. Depends on why. To weep at the approaching death of your child, as Hagar was doing, was not wrong in and of itself. But it didn't have to get to this point. It didn't have to be this way. Hagar didn't have to wander in the wilderness. Ishmael didn't have to mock Isaac. Hagar shouldn't have forgotten God's earlier promise in Genesis 16. Yes, having Isaac displaced Ishmael, that would be hard. But it didn't have to be as hard as it was for Hagar. Yes, being cast out of one's home, that's hard, but Hagar made it worse. Missteps, forgetfulness, outright sin. That has led to where Ishmael and Hagar are right now. And it's there where Hagar breaks down. She weeps, she sobs. Parents, mothers, maybe you've had a child sin. Maybe you've sinned. Your child has suffered as a result. Maybe your child has sinned and is suffering as a result of his or her own sins. Others sin against us. We sin against others. This is a fallen world. Fallen world we live in after Adam's first sin. His first sin has poisoned our nature. We've only added to that original sin our own actual sins. Suffering can be a good occasion to examine ourselves. We all sin. Examine yourself in suffering. Is this particular suffering, grief, due to sin? Where is it that we should confess? Don't waste your suffering, your shattered dreams, brothers and sisters. And where there is sin, repent of it. But sometimes our hard times are not a result of a specific sin in our lives. Maybe it's a dumb action. Maybe forgetfulness. Maybe it simply comes as a hard providence from God. It's okay to grieve. And there with this brokenness, Hagar grieves. Hagar weeps. And it's there, it's then that God sent an angel. We'll come to that in a moment, but first, is life worth living if your dreams are shattered? Mothers, what happens if, when your child doesn't live up to your earthly expectations? What happens if life doesn't live up to your expectations? Will you wander about? Will you be aimless? Husbands, as your wife grieves, you have to be there for her. God's given you to your wife, to your family, to be that rock in their need. And at this time, this verse, Hagar lacked that. Her man, Abraham, cast her out. Now, he was told to. But God came to her aid. God sent an angel to her. Again, much of it was her own fault. Much of it was Ishmael's own fault. Again, God even told Abraham, cast them out. But God still comes, and God shows mercy. Lamentations 3, 31 through 33 says, the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. Hagar had shattered dreams. Hagar had great grief. As we move to in our third point, Hagar lifted up her voice. Our third point, lift up your voice. Now, Hagar had no hope in herself and Ishmael. That's true. Reality hit her. The very end, she thought, reality was there. Again, then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. She could no longer lift up, carry her child, she thought. She set him down. She no longer had strength, she thought. She could lift up her voice. Once again, God heard. Now, we're told explicitly in verse 17, God heard the voice of the boy. But it was to Hagar that the angel of God called to heaven, from heaven. God told Hagar, fear not. And we've heard that before. We've heard that several times in our series through Joshua. We've heard it in our Matthew series, what the angel told Joseph about taking Mary to be his wife, even though she was with child. We've heard it on the Christmas story in Luke 2, what the angel told the shepherds. Lord willing, when we come back again to Genesis, we'll hear God tell it to Abram, fear not. Even more so then for believing mothers. Does God say, what troubles you? fear not. God has heard the voice. Lift up your voice. But go even farther than what Agar did. Lift up your voice. Call upon him. Cry out to him. God said to Hagar, fear not. Then God commanded Hagar, verse 18, up, lift up the boy, hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. She lifted up her voice, and God said, lift up the boy. There's a time for weeping. There's a time for crying out. And there's a time for doing. Put aside your shattered dreams. God's plan stands. Work in spite of your grief. For some cases of depression, the best medicine is to do your duty before you, even if you don't feel like it. Your dreams might be shattered. You might be depressed. Do what you ought to do anyway. God opened Hagar's eyes, opened them so now she saw a well of water that was already there. Hagar and Ishmael went on to live. And we know from our perspective today, Ishmael became the ancestor of millions, maybe even billions of persons. Many Islamic Middle Easterners trace their lineage back to Ishmael. Hagar didn't know that at the time. She only knew her shattered dreams and her grief out of which she lifted up her voice, but God knew what God would do. And God made this type of promise to Hagar, and he keeps every one of his promises. Now, this story is instructive for us as it stands, but there's something more to this story, as there is to every story in the Old Testament. This story points us to Jesus' story. Now, it's more a story of contrasts, how we fail, but Jesus succeeds. Ishmael was not the promised seed through which the Messiah would come. Isaac was. And no doubt Hagar and Ishmael would have been told that, but they did not embrace it. They did not believe it. Rather than believe God's promise, they pushed themselves forward. For a time, Ishmael was the only heir, but God made clear it was not to be Ishmael. God made clear his choice, the path through which salvation would come. Isaac was the child of promise, and Ishmael rejected that. Ishmael mocked Isaac. Instead of weeping about that, Hagar weeping about evidence of Ishmael's spiritual death, we're only told Hagar wept when her son's earthly death was near. See, Hagar was not looking with the eyes of faith. She did not listen to God's promise. God's promise Ishmael would be a great nation, or even more importantly, listen to God's promise that through Isaac the Messiah would come. Much better than earthly wealth, health. She wasn't listening to God at all. She was obsessed with her own dreams, her own expectations. She wasn't walking by faith, but by sight. And yet God still had mercy. God was faithful to all of his promises. Hagar was so blind, she didn't even see there was a well of water nearby. She was so turned in on herself, she wasn't even open to God's provision for her earthly life. But God had mercy. That's who God is, congregation. He's the God of mercy. As a human race, we have rejected God's promise of righteousness. As a human race, we have rejected God's provision for well-ordered society, for rules of wisdom concerning earthly life. Just look around at our world, the confusion, how backwards things are in terms of authority, sexuality, family, finances. But God shows mercy to a fallen race. The fullness of time, God sent his son, Jesus, into this world. The promised seed came. The Messiah came. Jesus, he willingly set aside his glory, his privilege. He willingly left his Father's house in heaven, not to wander, but to come into our wilderness, our exile. And he took upon himself our guilt, our shame, our sin. While Jesus had a loving mother, Jesus had to be about his heavenly Father's business, even to the point of suffering the agony of hell, of laying down his life as a sacrifice of sin. And we read from the gospel account of John there, Jesus was on the cross and Mary was right there. Mary didn't go a long way off, a bow shot like Hagar. But she was there at the foot of the cross. She couldn't do anything for Jesus. Jesus was doing everything for her. Jesus even cared for his mother such that he entrusted her earthly care to John, his beloved disciple. Mary's dreams, like the other's disciples, shattered with the death of Christ. Jesus on the cross, that accursed death. But God, again, had other plans. Shattered dreams, why? Not God's. On the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus conquered over sin, over death. He has brought in something better than worldly dreams and ambitions of sinners. Jesus has brought righteousness and life, reconciliation with the holy God, the reality of the new heavens and new earth. And this righteousness, this forgiveness, this eternal life are for all those who entrust themselves to Jesus. It doesn't matter who your earthly father or earthly mother are. It's in spite of your and my sins, our failures. Turn away from yourself to Jesus always. Such a contrast between Hagar and Ishmael and Jesus. Where do you and I fall in this congregation? Calibrate your dreams, your hopes, your expectations to Jesus and what he promises. Keep going to God's word. Don't forget his promises. Don't worry and fear. In Christ alone is joy and peace as we walk by faith in him. It's okay to have dreams, as long as they're based in God's word and for God's glory. Mothers, fathers, it's good to push your children to excel, as long as we're seeking to develop their gifts for God's glory and their neighbor's good. And it's okay to grieve when hard providences come. But know that they come from your Father in heaven. And in all these things, lift up your voice to God. To God for your children. Not only when you're at the end of your rope, but every day. Cry out to God for his work of grace in their hearts and lives, that they would grow up not just to be a nation, but men and women of God. By God's grace, model godliness for them and urge them on in that. And children, thank God for your parents, especially in this day, for your mothers. They shed a lot of tears for you. They offer a lot of prayers on your behalf. They sacrifice a lot for you. Honor your father and your mother. But above all, may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers, especially for our believing mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. And Lord, may we be faithful and remember the promises you have spoken. The many dreams we have, may we sanctify them and bring them into submission to you and your word and your glory. But when things come to us, whether because of our sin or a child's sin or others' sins, may we hold fast to you and cry out for your mercy. Lord, we pray that you would bless our families, brokenness and all, that you would use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.